Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers on a Thursday afternoon broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on a variety of civic media radio stations, originating here in Madison out of the Solidarity Realty Studios on the near west side of town for Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX 1580 AM. And I'm joined on a Thursday. We are just checking all the boxes, Will, because William Walter joining me here on a Thursday. Wednesdays with Will on a Thursday. How you doing, big guy?
Well, Wednesday on a Thursday was on my bucket list, so exactly. I'm very glad to be able to check that one off.
And this one's like Christmas. It is very...
For you, maybe.
There is snow coming down. The difference that 24 hours makes here in the state of Wisconsin, the weather reminding us that it is February indeed. I was a little confused. Last night I thought it was fall. I was clearing up this giant tree that had been cut down in my yard, and I was clearing all the extra sticks. I had some friends come over, help cut up the logs, had a fire burning for all this extra debris. Because it was 40 degrees out, and I was in a long-sleeve pullover just doing yard work around the house in
Sounds
February.
Sounds like you were overdressed, Luke. 40 degrees in February is shorts and t-shirt weather.
I was working, though, so I didn't want to, like, scratch up the arms and legs and stuff. So I was properly wearing enough clothes. I had a coat on to start. I had to take
Safety
that off.
Safety first. Because, That's fair.
But Mother Nature reminding us it is, in fact, February here in the state of Wisconsin. Apparently, closer you get to the lake by you, it's still fairly nice and only rain. But here in south central Wisconsin, in Madison, I would say we're probably about 3 inches maybe of accumulation already. And it started coming down relatively late in the morning. So be safe out there. If you're driving home, like our fearless morning producer, Aaron Zommers, headed out from the studios after his shift ended. And Evan, who is on the board for us, thank you, Evan, was like, oh no, I'm a little concerned. Aaron might have a hard time driving his little car in this weather. So be careful out there, folks. Drive slowly. It is Wisconsin. It is February. This is part of what we signed up for. But if you want to join us, share a tangent with us, if you're avoiding the snow or cautiously on the roads, 844-967-2789. And Will, we got a lot to unpack. We got a pretty full show here with all of the Wisconsin headlines and news stories, both here in our state and in D.C. The president wrapped up his trip to Dane County yesterday, visiting DeForest, as we talked about on yesterday's show. And there's a little blowback. So we're going to talk about the blowback from the naming of names that the president did while he was in town yesterday, a little bit later in the show. But we've got a budget process that is pretty much underway, and that's where we're going to begin today.
Did you ever find out, Luke, where he went for ice cream?
I did not. I didn't see any photo ops. I saw zero photo ops. It was a 40-degree, beautiful February day, and I do not know where the president or the governor decided to go get ice cream. So I'm hoping we'll find that out, but I
SMH.
I do believe I have not seen any photos. I don't know about you, but I would assume they got some. I feel like that's always, it's like a mandatory thing.
40 degrees in February is like, it'd be like if it was like 95 on a nice July afternoon. Like, how can you not stop in for an ice cone? I don't know.
Exactly.
Maybe that's just me, but.
Well, we'll still have to continue to put out the feelers and see if there is something to find there. If we can find out if the ice cream was had, and if so,
I'll check with my sources.
Yeah, you got to keep digging on that one for us. But the president now heading down to Florida. But the governor, who spoke at the event that President Joe Biden was at in DeForest yesterday, has had a busy couple of days here as well, leading up to the budgetary address that he is going to be giving next week, Will. And he's starting to lay out some of these programs, which I don't know about you, but they seem like pretty common sense, good programs. But I'm assuming we shouldn't get too attached to them, Will, because the Republicans in the legislature are more likely than not going to leave them on the cutting room floor when it comes to how they approach the budgetary session coming up this year.
Yeah, I mean, it would be expected at this point. The Republicans will go out of their way to prevent a win, even if it is on some kind of universally accepted positive requirements. We saw it with Biden's speech the other day, right? Like anti-monopolization, antitrust laws. These are things that
paying teachers more money.
Teachers, like, these are positive policies across the political spectrum. And Kevin McCarthy and Ron Johnson and all of them still came out after the fact immediately calling him a liar and heckling him on the stage. And it's par for the course at this point.
So we've got a handful of policy proposals that the Evers administration is putting out ahead of next week's budget address. And it's going to be interesting to see whether or not they make it in, because there's a handful of them, and we're going to talk about them now. Over at the Wisconsin State Journal headline, Governor Tony Evers calls for increased aid for veterans related to housing, employment, mental health services. I mean, Will, this has got to be one of the most easy things to achieve bipartisan support on, right? Supporting our veterans. How are Republicans going to shoot these ones down? Do you have any insight on whether or not you think these... Because that's what he's doing. He's leading. The Evers administration is leading with things that should receive bipartisan support, that are good ideas that should be in this next two-year budget. And the piece written up by Mitchell Schmidt over at the State Journal, in the lead-up to his budget unveiling next week, Democratic Governor Tony Evers on Thursday said his next two-year spending plan proposal will include a call for increased spending on services for Wisconsin's more than 300,000 veterans. Evers will formally...
I had to laugh at that typo. Sorry to cut you off, Luke. I had to laugh at the typo with the additional
there's,
one
there's
in
an
there.
Additional one on there, but I have
I
a feeling that just got
I read it as 3 million veterans, and I was like, holy moly. I thought Wisconsin's got like 5.5 million people. What?
You just got to look at the commas, Will, and then you know that one is just extra there. And I was giving the State Journal the benefit of the doubt, not pointing it out, but there you go.
I don't do that. I don't do that here, Luke. I drive a hard bargain.
Yes. So diving further into the piece, Evers' proposal follows work completed last year by the Blue Ribbon Commission on Veteran Opportunity, which the governor announced in his 2022 State of the State address. The commission in September identified gaps in existing services for veterans and underscored the need for expanded access to higher education and job training, increased mental and behavior health support and substance abuse and disorder treatment, and more spending to address housing insecurity, the governor said in a statement. So those three areas, they've already done the work. The Evers administration put out this Blue Ribbon Commission. They did the study. They have the findings of the study. And now it's time to act on the findings of the study. And it should be a slam dunk. This should be just something that's like, okay, let's do it. We have all of the work done. Let's put some money behind it. Because again, Will, $7 billion. In surplus
billion
funds.
With a B.
Billion with That's... a B. An unprecedented historical surplus that the state has to invest in things like helping our veterans, like addressing the worker shortage that we are going to have at the end of this decade. There are so many things that can be addressed.
I'm going to challenge that. We're not going to face a worker shortage, Luke. We're going to get all the snowbirds. Robin Voss promised me that they're going to spend an extra couple days here per year. Don't even worry about that. That's handled.
Well, I look forward to seeing the results of the Blue Ribbon Commission that the speaker puts out then to study the snowbird migration patterns of coming to a state with a flat tax or whatever he believes is the justification for that one. But this is like a slam dunk, Will. This should be so easy to do. Something else that should be so easy to do with the surplus that is currently available to our lawmakers is being able to send more money to local governments to be able to address problems locally. Again, Republicans claim to be the party of local control. They say that they want smaller government. let the state return more resources to local governments to address these problems. Well, because another proposal that Evers came out with over the last day or so is written up very well by Jack Kelly over at the Cap Times. In a headline, Evers' plan would give local governments $576 million boost. That's a huge injection of money that local governments need to be able to address schools, to address public safety, police departments, fire departments, EMS services. There is so much that can be done right now to deliver for our local governments with this $7 billion. But again, I don't know if it's going to be as slam dunk as of a slam dunk as it should be, just because Republicans, they haven't really worked with the governor the last
We've
two budgets.
We've seen dunks missed before, Luke. I mean, you think about the military burn pits, right? Veterans were suffering and the federal government did not want to assist them until it became a national news story. Heck, John Stewart had to go to the Capitol to get victims of 9/11 to have the government cover the rest of their, the financial compensation. Mm-hmm.
The healthcare costs.
Healthcare costs and whatnot that first responders from 9/11 were suffering from. The U.S. government was trying to withhold those benefits. The Republicans will do anything they can to save a few extra dollars for their ultra-rich donors, no matter what it takes, no matter who's getting screwed over. Mental health in particular, it's interesting that should be one of the talking points here with the Evers budget, because we see that every time there's a mass shooting, right? It's not the guns, it's the mental health. Okay, let's fund mental health then. Oh, no, I don't want
to. We don't
do
have
that,
any money to do that. Oh, wait, we have $7 billion to be able to address problems like mental health.
Right. Can't have it both ways, and Republicans seem to want to have their cake and eat it too.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, but joined on this Thursday afternoon by William Walter. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Will Walter. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. We got a couple other Evers proposals that we're going to get to, as well as a little conservative on conservative fighting as well here in the state of Wisconsin. Can't wait to get your take on that one, Will, because, boy, that one relates to the state Supreme Court race that is now, like, what are we? We're almost approaching single digits until we're away from that race. It's getting close.
Primaries in 12 days.
12 days away. Stay tuned to Dueling Tangents across civic media. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Thursday afternoon by William Walter. We're taking your tangents, 844-967-2789. But Will, it's not just the snow outside that makes me think it's Christmas. It's also the NBA's trade deadline today, like coming up right here as this show wraps will be the deadline. And it is like Christmas because there are just all these trades happening. It's so much fun to keep an eye on. It's almost impossible. But Jay Crowder, former Marquette Golden Eagle, is going to be coming back to Milwaukee.
He's coming home.
Yeah, he's going to be joining the Bucks, getting a perimeter defender, decent three-point shooter, and so we'll be very excited to see how that. He has not played. I believe he was injured to start the year, and then he was upset with Phoenix and the way that he was being approached by either the coaching or the ownership, and so he wasn't playing. So he's maybe a little rusty. It might take some time for him to get into full shape, but very excited. I think could be the addition that the Bucks needed here at the trade deadline, very similar to when PJ Tucker came to Milwaukee 2 years ago when the Bucks won the whole thing. So
sometimes you need that dog to come in.
Oh, we've got some dogs. Javon Carter, Jrue Holiday, Bobby Portis. We've got some dogs. It's just nice to have one more in the rotation if we're going to go all the way for the championship. So that's been something. out of politics that I've been very closely keeping an eye on all day today. It's a lot of fun. The
Phoenix made a splash too.
The whole Brooklyn Nets situation. The whole Brooklyn Nets situation is just terrific because Giannis essentially destroyed that franchise. Giannis defeated the big three that Brooklyn assembled, and then they ultimately played 16 games, I think, total together between Harden, Irving, and KD. So it was definitely pretty shocking news to wake up to KD being traded to Phoenix. But let's head back to, now that we've closed that sports tangent, let's head back over to the political tangent so we can head to the phone lines. We got Brian in Kenosha calling in. Brian, what's on your mind today? You keeping an eye on the NBA trade deadline, or are you keeping an eye on Wisconsin's political headlines? Brian, do we have you? All right, it looks like we're going to have to put Brian back on hold. We'll see if Evan can get a hold of him and get him back connected. But as we were discussing in the first segment, Will, the plans being laid out by Governor Tony Evers at the start of his second term here, going to be approaching the budget season for the state of Wisconsin, laying out some plans that he would like to see implemented in the state of Wisconsin. And this next one, again, I feel like it should be a slam dunk. It should be a no-brainer. And this is written up by the AP. Evers calls for smoother approval of stewardship projects. And if you recall, there's a really weird process here in the state of Wisconsin. And in stewardship projects or conservation efforts, things that the state can do to buy parks and buy and sell land, being able to further protect it for state resources. And Evers put forward several different projects during his first term, but a really weird kink in the system is that a legislator can anonymously object without cause, without reason, just say, I don't support this project moving forward. And it happened several times throughout the Evers first term. And so Evers is now calling to do away with this. And reading from a piece by Todd Richmond over at the Associated Press, Governor Tony Evers wants to make it harder for Wisconsin's Republican-controlled legislature to stop conservationists and the state from buying land, proposing Wednesday to increase the thresholds for stopping stewardship projects. So essentially, Evers just wants to change the current setup of an anonymous legislator being able to object. And I feel like that's just a really weird rule to be able to have in the first place, Will. Like, just anonymously, like, if you want to talk about shadow government, shadow docket, deep state, whatever, just being able to, without tying your name to it or giving any reason as to why you object, objecting to a state purchase of land seems pretty weird, is it not?
Happened in my backyard, the Cedar Gorge land bluff. Conservationists had hoped to protect it, pristine area right on the shores of Lake Michigan, but an anonymous legislator objected to block the funding at the last minute, so that is now in question.
I feel like that's one thing that Fighting Bob didn't get cleaned up here in the state of Wisconsin, because I feel like if he would have gotten all the way through and taken care of all of those kind of smoke-filled backroom dealings, because that's essentially what this is. You could just object without putting your name or giving reason to why a project shouldn't go through. That's going to be really hard to track any kind of, I don't want to automatically go to malfeasance, but if you don't know why a legislator is objecting to a project, say they represent that district and they don't want it the state to be able to purchase it because there's some kind of private business interest in purchasing it instead, and they're able to hold that up and prevent the preservation of those bluffs right on Lake Michigan, that's a pretty shady process, and that should absolutely be cleaned up. We should increase the threshold and make legislators have to put their name on reviewing these projects. If they truly believe that the state shouldn't be able to purchase it, they should go out there and say why. Again, mm-hmm. we've got $7 billion in surplus. If we want to be able to preserve some of the great public the great lands in Wisconsin and make them public so that generations to come can enjoy them as well, you should have a pretty good reason as to why you object to that project. In my opinion.
And we got to laugh about it, Luke, because we see it at the national level all the time. particularly from conservative politicians. Oh, anonymous sources. If you're afraid to put your name to this saying, then why would you even print it? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, an anonymous source, somebody who fears repercussions from a powerful entity punishing them for speaking out, is a little bit different than we elected you to represent us in the government. You should put your face and your name to whatever idea you support. Yeah. I cannot believe you would compare that anybody would in good faith compare those two ideas.
Well, it's very similar to the senior senator here in Wisconsin when he puts his phone up to his ear and he pretends that he's on the phone with a caller, and the reporter's like, "No, I can see your phone right now. You're not on the phone right now. sorry, sir." And we're going to get into a little bit more about that senior senator coming up in the next segment. 844-967-2789. Share your tangent with us. This is Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Welter. We'll be right back. Tangents. Let that cage the elephant build just a little bit. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Thursday afternoon by William Walter. And Will, it's a very interesting dynamic right now going on here in the state of Wisconsin. And we're going to talk a little bit about that dynamic with the senior senator, Ron Johnson, of Wisconsin, or Florida, depending on what day it is and which million-dollar mansion he's deciding to reside in. And the
is
president
he the snowbird that Robin Voss is worried about? Is that just Ron Johnson?
I think he's the exact demographic that Robin Voss, Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, is concerned about moving to Wisconsin. That's who he's targeting.
We need Ron to be here 6 months and one day, dang it.
I don't even know if he spends that much time here in Wisconsin currently, if you actually tracked
it. No, he definitely doesn't. But that's not. Because he's you know, he'll tell you it's a third Florida, a third D.C., a third Wisconsin. It's probably like 15% Wisconsin, 50%
I just love to see the actual
35% Florida.
Show us the actual travel receipts. We'd love to see them. But before we get into this story, let's head over to the phone lines. We got Jack and Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind on this Thursday afternoon?
Well, I'm going to take a little bit of exception to the statement that our wonderful legislators in Madison were elected to represent us. They were gerrymandered in, elected by a minority of Wisconsinites, so they definitely do not represent us, and pretty much bought their way into office with a lot of money as well. That's what that's what they're representing. They're not representing Wisconsinites. And until we can get rid of that gerrymandering, we're stuck with a minority government. They definitely are not a representative legislature.
No, they've Republicans. Republicans under Robin Voss and now Devin LeMahieu, previously Scott Fitzgerald, absolutely rigged the system to be able to receive more legislative power here in Madison than they proportionally should receive. And that's absolutely right, Jack. Unfortunately, we got to play with the hands that are currently being dealt, and there is a very important state Supreme Court race that could have implications on those maps. We're going to get to that a little bit later, but we appreciate your phone call, Jack. You could be like Jack. 844-967-2789 to share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents, or you can be like our friend Joe here in Madison. Joe, what's on your mind this Thursday afternoon?
Well, I wanted to thank you for bringing up again this wacky, awful situation that we have where one anonymous person on joint finance can say no to purchases using the Nelson Stewardship Fund. That fund has secured over, I think, 665,000 acres of land in our state that has just been invaluable. You know, we won't even talk about carbon sequestration, but let's talk about jobs that exist on this land in terms of tourism and fishing and
The parts of Wisconsin that make Wisconsin, Wisconsin, Joe, the parts that Republican lawmakers claim that they are all for, the North, Robin Voss or Devin LeMahieu or any really Republican uses the talking point when it comes up, say like Jack just referenced the maps being rigged. Well, they'll argue, oh no, we represent the portions of Wisconsin that are, you know, truly Wisconsin, not
real Wisconsin,
not the Milwaukees and the Madisons of the state, but we represent real Wisconsin, the Northwoods and these lands that you're referencing that an anonymous member during the Evers administration, I would assume, has been a Republican member. Again, I maybe that's a little cynical. I don't know, because they're anonymous, but it's a pretty messed up system, Joe.
It's wrong, and it's sick, and it is, especially at a time. For example, take one of the, they said this, they've done this over a dozen times, and one of the more recent examples is this Pelican River Forest Project, the largest project that they've come up with in the state's history, 70,000 acres of land, and the bulk of the money for paying for this wouldn't have to come out of the budget surplus, but out of a federal grant. It's the Federal Forestry Legacy Grant with some state funding, but the bulk of it is federal. It's 68 miles of streams that would be set aside, the headwaters to the Wolf River. All of this stuff is so invaluable. This stuff is so important. It's not only hunting and fishing, but this conservation project has the support of ATV clubs up north. I mean, there is broad support for this, and one person is saying no. Well, why is that one person saying no? If you can't stand beside why you're saying no, of what use are you? I mean, you should be able to say, I don't agree with it for this reason or that reason, and you put it out and it can be argued. But for one person to, under the cloak of darkness, to say no to the future, the environmental future of the state, I mean, it's money that's going right out the window when we're saying no to these projects. Money going absolutely right out the window, and we ought to be really, really upset about this. Thank Governor Evers for raising the alarm about this and seeking to deal with it, and thank you for bringing it up. Continue to return to this subject. It's really important. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Absolutely, Joe. We appreciate your phone call.
Need clean water, Lou. Clean water is overrated, right?
Hey, the Wolf River, that's one of my favorite spots here in Wisconsin. I grew up going to camp up there every summer. Like, that was, the Wolf River is terrific. So the things that make Wisconsin, Wisconsin are, like our outdoors, are absolutely things that need to be protected, and that this process needs to be reformed. It's as simple as that. Like, there should not be anonymous objectors to preserving state lands. And as Joe excellently pointed out, there's projects that receive federal funding too. So it's not even like all of the funds that would be used to purchase these parcels of land would be coming from the state coffers. But even if it were, $7
billion
in surplus. That is money well spent. So,
well, remember, Luke, according to my representative, Dan Knodel, federal funds are like cocaine. It's alluring, and we don't want the people of Wisconsin to become addicted to that money. This is grotesque, okay? Yeah. This entire situation is incredibly grotesque. Joe mentioned, you know, and we kind of touched on this earlier, that elected officials, in theory, well, clearly they have not been, are chosen to represent us, our wishes, the constituents' well-being.
Yeah, Jack from Merrimack was referencing that.
Mm-hmm. And Jack touched on that too. But if these elected officials are not going to stand up and say, I'm objecting to this because my buddy who owns a construction company says he's going to make some really sweet condos on that land that's going to make a lot of money. Like, they can't say that, and that's the only reason that they're realistically doing this. So instead, they're protected by allowing this anonymous objection. It's pathetic, frankly.
Yeah, and something else that is pathetic is the doublespeak that some politicians are able to get away with as well, when it is, in fact, their name slapped on the statement. There are Republicans, specifically U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, that just acts like he can go to his echo chamber, he can go to conservative talk media and say anything he wants, and then he gets called out for those things, and names are named. The president of the United States comes to DeForest, Wisconsin, and says, hey, look, this is what your senior senator had to say about Social Security. And so, Evan, let's play that clip from President Biden's visit to Wisconsin yesterday, calling out Ron Johnson for his past statements.
You have a senator named Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson on Social Security and Medicare, quote, "We should transfer everything, so we have to consider everything every year." Come on, man.
Come on, man. That's my favorite. That's an Earl Ingram Listen quote here, right Jeff. There. But now Senator Johnson is calling the president a liar, saying that he never said that, saying that this is a distortion of his comments. And so I did something I really do not like to do. I used to have to do it all the time when I was where Evan is right now, producing for the Devil's Advocates radio show. I'd have to listen to some of these, you know, clips and pull out the sound bites of Ron Johnson and other Republicans going into the conservative talk radio world. And so I did a little of that homework today, and I went and found last August 2nd, Ron Johnson appeared on the Regular Joe Show and had this to say about Social Security and Medicare.
When you talk about discretionary versus permanent, when it's discretionary spending, that means you approve it for now, for this budget, this year, this bill.
Regular Joe.
But if it's going to be spent again, it has to come back up for a vote, versus permanent, where it's just now it's there every year. And that's where that's kind of the devil in the details that a lot of people don't realize. That's why it's so important that it not be listed as permanent, because then it's just money that's going to be added every year into that budget.
So going and, really know, well and, into
again,
detail
it's going to continue
here.
To be spent. It's going to continue to increase our debt.
Yes, and you know, defense spending has always been discretionary. You know, VA spending is discretionary. What's mandatory are things like Social Security and Medicare. If you qualify for the entitlement, you just get it no matter what the
cost.
Not
an entitlement.
And our problem in this country is that more than 70% of our federal budget, of our federal spending, is all mandatory spending. It's on automatic pilot. It never, you just don't do proper oversight. You don't get in there and fix the programs going bankrupt. It's just on automatic pilot. What we ought to be doing is we ought to turn everything into discretionary spending so it's all evaluated so that we can fix problems or fix programs that are broken that are going to be going bankrupt. No. Because, again, as long as things are on automatic pilot, we just continue to pile up debt. It's mortgaging our kids' future. It's this massive debt burden combined with additional massive deficit spending that sparked this inflation. It's wiping out people's wage gains, making it impossible for them to make ends meet. Again, it didn't just happen. I mean, the fact that you're struggling economically, it's because of Democrat governance and Democrat policies and the federal government that is spending way more money than it should.
Okay, Senator Johnson. So he's spinning the fact that there is deficits, that it is Democrat policies, Democratic lawmaker policies that have got us there. Not to actually look at the numbers and see the deficits go down when there is a Democrat in the White House.
Donald
and go
Trump
up.
In 4 years brought up a larger deficit than Biden and Obama have combined.
Correct. And Ron Johnson played a huge key role in why the deficit increased so much under the former president, President Donald Trump, because Ron Johnson was the holdout. Ron Johnson waited to support the Trump tax cuts until he got the special provision that he wanted for pass-through businesses. And then and only then, Ron Johnson became the deciding vote that passed the tax cuts that blew a $2 trillion hole in the U.S. In the budget and led to the deficits.
And that's trillion with a T,
T.
Now, Luke. That's not a B. That is a T, T right there.
Yes. So that's Senator Ron Johnson literally saying the things that he's now saying that he didn't say and calling the president a liar for saying the things that the senator said. Very,
well,
very
he
weird.
He did it this morning, too, Luke.
Yeah.
Did you see his quote on Jay Weber's show?
He was doing all the rotation for the conservative talk radio stations here in Wisconsin earlier today after the president came to visit yesterday. Let's share that quote with the people, Will.
So Jay Weber said, and I quote, "One of the few bipartisan applause lines of Tuesday night was related to the notion that both sides should agree not to touch Social Security and Medicare. I get the reflexive political applause to that idea, but these entitlement programs do need reforms. They don't have to be cuts, but they need reforms, and we do need to take serious adults, and we do need serious adults in Washington, D.C. who are willing to take on the challenge and do the work instead of engaging in this political arson against each side when it's even mentioned. Would you agree with that? To which Ron Johnson said, and I quote, yes, that's what I've talked about from the first time I ran in 2010. I just laid out the reality of Social Security. It's a legal Ponzi scheme. It is. It's a pay-as-you-go system. So our money that we have invested is now a legal Ponzi scheme, according to Senior Senator Ron Johnson.
Yes, the benefits that we are currently paying into comes out of my paycheck once every 2 weeks. I'm paying into it, but apparently those benefits that I'm paying into, those are entitlements. I'm entitled when I think that I'm able to retire with the benefits that I earned throughout my lifetime of working. But again, very difficult for the senator from Wisconsin to parse the doublespeak that he does when it comes to things like going out on right-wing talk radio and saying these things and then being really upset when he's called out for these things. We're going to continue on with a little update with the state Supreme Court race, as well as get to some more phone calls coming up on the other side of this break. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Thursday afternoon by William Walter. One more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your tangents. Let's get them in, folks. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on this Thursday by William Walter. And just to kind of put a bookend on that last quotes from Senator Ron Johnson and doing his rounds on conservative talk radio earlier today after being called out by the President of the United States for the things that he's said surrounding Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. That quote from Jay Weber, trying to really nicely tee up the senator, like that was pretty softball. No, Will, like that was just like lobbing him, just
softball,
like,
dude. That was set up on a tee.
Yeah, that's not even slow pitch. That was more like t-ball. You are correct.
But Ron Johnson has this weird habit of. Do you remember that old toy? It was essentially a baseball on a tee, but it had a string.
Yeah.
So no matter
yeah.
where you hit it, the ball would always come flying right back at you. Mm-hmm. That's Ron Johnson every time he speaks publicly.
But the question from Jay Weber was talking about how there needs to be adults in the room in Washington, and it's just very comical to me that now that he's in the minority, has very little to do in the Senate. He's going to be in the minority there in the Senate. He's now testifying. Senator Ron Johnson is testifying before House committees about the weaponization of the federal government. And you pointed out, Will, interestingly enough, Fox News. Not covering that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, the irony, of course, is, and Stacey Plaskett said this in her opening statement, quote, I'm deeply concerned about the use of this select subcommittee as a place to settle scores, showcase conspiracy theories, and advance an extreme agenda that risks undermining Americans' faith in our democracy.
That sounds right up Ron Johnson's alley.
Right, but by, like, so the committee is the weaponization of government.
Yeah.
And they are using this committee to weaponize the government yep. against their enemies. Mm-hmm. It's projection all the way through. We've talked about it before, top to bottom. The entire party is nothing more than a massive movie theater scale projector.
Absolutely. And we'll get a little bit more.
If Republicans are doing it, you can bet that they're spewing it.
I think it's the other way around. Sir. I think if they're spewing it, they're doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But thank you, Evan. Let's head over to the phone lines before we get into a little bit more of that projection. We'll wrap up there with the final story. But we got Bill in Oconomowoc calling in. Bill, what's on your mind this Thursday afternoon?
Thanks for the topic on Ron Johnson. He just left airwaves on Vicky McKenna.
Oh.
That guy truly believes there's a vast left-wing conspiracy hooked with China and Biden and everything else to bring people like him down. The man is a psychopath. He's unfit for public office. He took an oath to protect this country from domestic terrorism. Instead, he's turned around and is promoting domestic terrorism. He can't comprehend simple facts. I believe, thanks to guys like you, keep it up. And by the way, I've heard him before on Average Joe up in, I think it's out of Wausau. guys like him have to be ostracized, and thank God Biden started it. And he will refuse to answer how he can say one thing one day and the next day totally opposite. He can't either he can't comprehend it, or he's lacked the intelligence of what he's saying. I really appreciate what you guys are doing, and I think we have to send a message to Wisconsin and Washington. He's unfit. We could, you know, a vast referendum or a national promotion to remove him from office is not impossible. But thanks for what you do. Have a great day.
Absolutely, Bill, and we appreciate your phone call. It will be interesting to see. I mean, he just got reelected.
I think
it
might be the third one. I think, Luke, it might be the third option. Like, Bill painted two very realistic possibilities. I'm going to go with option C, which is he knows he's lying. He knows he's a massive hypocrite. He just doesn't care because his base eats it up. It's you know, we've talked about this in the past, that perhaps hypocrisy is the point. It's showcasing that we are better than you. We are above you in society. We don't have to play by your rules of doing and saying what we agree to do because we are inherently superior. I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit deeper than just that he's dumb, because we know he's dumb, but that's nothing new if you've listened to the man talk since 2010. But to be able to do and say so many contradictory things every single time he opens his mouth, I think it has to be a little bit deeper than that. It's that you know you will face no repercussions.
Yeah, I mean, he's been getting away with it for 12 years now on the stage here in Wisconsin, and then he got the ability to go. He just got approval to go do it for another 6 years. So I honestly do not know what to make of Wisconsinites reelecting Ron Johnson this last year. That's a whole nother tangent for another day. But one of the interesting areas where you can see this hypocrisy on full display again is here in Wisconsin for the state Supreme Court race, because Dan Kelly, former state Supreme Court justice, who was appointed and was seeking a full term back in 2020 and lost that race, is again doubling down on the fact that he will not endorse fellow conservative in the race, Jennifer Doro, if he is not to make it beyond the February 21st primary coming up 12 days from today. And Will, it essentially comes down to the fact that Judge Doro, in Kelly's opinion, isn't a true conservative. There's nothing that she's broadcasted to show that she's a conservative. And
he legitimately questioned her qualifications.
Yeah, he's absolutely. There's an excellent piece over the Journal Sentinel, headlined "In Competition for Conservative Voters, Wisconsin Supreme Court Candidate Dan Kelly Ratchets Up Attacks on Judge Jennifer Doro." And so it is an excellent piece written up by Corinne Hess over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it is just fascinating that Dan Kelly, who says, well, the liberal judges, they're going to be activist judges. They're projecting where they're going to stand on these issues. That's against judicial ethics. And then he comes out and goes, well, I can't endorse Doro. She doesn't project her values. How am I going to know? I could get screwed again. And this be like Brian Hagedorn, an independent judicial candidate may get elected to the state's highest court. And it's just fascinating there, the hypocrisy.
I mean, Kelly went in. He said that Doro's campaign literature shows she doesn't understand the U.S. Constitution. He said she incorrectly states people's rights come from the Constitution, instead that they were created by God, and it's the court's job to protect those rights from the government. Saying, quote, if you don't get that one, what are you going to do with the hard ones?
Yeah. So this, the next 12 days, those attacks, I believe, are only going to further ratchet up as far as that headline goes from the Journal Sentinel. But it is pretty fascinating to see the hypocrisy on display with Kelly's arguments on why he will not endorse Jennifer Doro if he does not make it beyond the February 21st primary. But folks, that is a very important race. In-person absentee voting has already begun, underway. Go to myvote.wi.gov to learn about your options to vote early or receive an absentee ballot, or just make a plan to vote on primary election day, February 21st. That's a week from this upcoming Tuesday. You've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Really appreciate you, Will, for joining me on this Thursday afternoon. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.